If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, a world champion in not one, not two, but three different sports, my tag team partner, Mark Henry, and I dive into what we saw on Wednesday with AEW and NXT and how they're dealing with those empty venues and performing in front of no audience. Also, we get into WrestleMania 36 now being two nights, Saturday and Sunday, April 4th and 5th. We get into all of that. Plus, we get into Rob Gronkowski and the road that world champion is going to have to take to be a WWE superstar. Mark Henry has an amazing story to share with the nation. And also, speaking of the nation, Mark and I have some tips on what the nation can do during this time of crisis. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Mark, how are you, man?
I am awesome, Dave. Under the circumstances, getting so much quality time with the family and just trying to stay out of trouble. It's hard for me. Yeah, right.
Well, if
what about you,
lock,
man? How you doing?
A little bit different than you, Mark. I'm going a little stir crazy here, being in the house for this long. And unfortunately, the way things are going, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. So, and that's a good thing. Staying off the streets is going to be good for everybody. Keep everybody safe. Try to stop the spread of this virus. And, you know, as we've been preaching day in and day out here on Busted Open, that safety is the top priority. Safety is the concern. So hopefully everyone that's listening to our voices complying with the rules and trying to stay home as much as possible, unless it's to go out to get food or an emergency.
Yeah. And, you know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Be conscious about touching your face, rubbing your eyes and touching your nose and ears and your mouth. It's a tough time, but we're going to make do. There's going to be jokes. We're being serious right now, but we're going to have the normal comedy and fun show that we always have.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, wash your hands and everything. And then make sure, Mark, that when you're in the shower, you wash your face first and then your ass. Don't never wash your ass first and then your face. Make sure.
No, never ass the face. That's a complete violation.
You gotta make sure you do it in order. You got the list. You got 1, 2, 3,
feet, 4. Your feet, ass, face.
So you do your face first.
Wait a minute. It's the opposite way. Face first, ass to feet. Okay, that's that.
There you go.
We're in the right order now.
Feet's always last.
Yeah, man. I mean, when was the last time you put your mouth to? Well, yeah, it's hard to do, but I guess I'm flexible enough.
You know, it's just whatever your day. As long as you're staying home, you know, just don't do it outside.
And or in front of people.
Definitely. Shut the door and do whatever you want.
Oh my God.
But my
dog, every now and then I have to say, hey, stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
But sometimes you look at the dog and you admire. You're like, wow. You know, if I could do that, this isolation thing wouldn't be so bad.
It wouldn't be so bad. I never leave the house.
All right, so what are we talking about today on a Friday?
Except to go get breath mints. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. It's too early. It's too early.
It's never too early. Oh, my God.
So, Dave, tell me about this whole wrestling thing going that we're talking about right now. Oh,
sure.
Oh, my God. I'm crying. I got tears rolling down my face.
This is the problem, because now I'm crying from your jokes, and now I'm touching my face. Because you're not supposed to touch your face.
Dave, don't touch your face. The backhand side. Do the backhand.
I can't help it.
Yeah, there you go.
Tears are in my eyes. I can't see.
Oh,
you
man.
Do this to me every single Friday. You're unbelievable.
But that's why we do it. We do it for the people, man. I really, really miss the nation. I mean, it's been a while. And, you know, I haven't been on since last week. And so much happened on Monday, which I was really happy about. And then Wednesday... what a case of different shows. Mm-hmm. And Friday we have to look forward to tonight, and I wanted to see what you think will be some changes that'll be made. I know what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a camera change for sure.
Yeah.
Just to help out based off what we saw on AEW on Wednesday. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think they could tweak some things, but honestly, Mark, like, until I saw AEW on Wednesday, I thought SmackDown and Raw was fine. Like, I was just happy that there was wrestling for us to enjoy and for us to watch. Like, I know it's easy, and sometimes it's good to kind of separate everything and kind of analyze and look deeper into stuff than just the surface, but when you're going through what we're going through right now and all the changes in the world, I was just happy to be able to turn on Raw on Monday at 8 o'clock and turn on SmackDown at 8 o'clock and be able to enjoy a wrestling show and kind of forget everything that's going on. So I didn't really look at it that deep. I didn't analyze right. Like, oh, you know, oh, they could do this better. They could do that better. I was just happy that I was watching it. But now that this has become the new norm, Mark, like, it's not just an anomaly. It wasn't just one show. This is the way it's going to be for at least the near future. It's definitely going to be this way till we get to WrestleMania 36. So I guess this is the time where you can kind of look at it and say, all right, how can they do things a little bit differently? And how can they make it a little more enticing to the viewer?
Yeah. And I didn't think on Monday, I was so excited, man. I had me a nice cigar and a little Monte Cristo. And I was just watching the show. And then of course, the social distancing is in effect. The cigar bar that I go to, there was only two people in there, me and the guy that was running the place. And so I'm sitting there doing commentary on my Facebook Live and social media stuff. And it was fun, man. I must admit, like, I was able to talk to the nation, and that was the only point that I felt normal. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so used to talking to wrestling fans and, you know, giving my time and understanding of what I'm seeing and just my unbridled excitement to see Stone Cold Steve Austin, which, you know, didn't disappoint. I mean, I got more than I expected on that show, seeing Byron Saxon get kicked in the ding ding.
I think we've all wanted to do that.
Yes, definitely. With those socks, I want to kick him every time I see him. But it was really validating to see. No, it wasn't. That wasn't cool. But I'll tell you what, Steve is accurate as hell, or it's been a long time since he gave a stunner, because that was low and right on the piss pump.
It was. It was definitely aimed perfectly. And you know what, Byron, give him credit. He took it like a champ. I mean, he sold this. He did a great job.
Yes, he did.
And you know what? Bully and I talked about this yesterday, Mark, and I want to get your take. Because you just said it, like, on Wednesday, AEW and NXT were like two completely different shows. But what WWE has done, and again, there's no right or wrong here. There is no right or wrong. It's just there's just differences of opinion. But what the WWE has done, they're obviously, and Triple H said it on SmackDown this past Friday, their goal is to put smiles on people's faces. So what the WWE has done is they've kind of just gone, hey, this is our product. We're moving forward with it. It's going to be in front of no audience, but we're going to do what we do. We're not going to make any changes. And what we saw on Friday and Monday was probably no different than you would normally see on a SmackDown or a Raw. It just wasn't in front of a crowd. They really didn't talk about all the things that are going on. AEW did it a different way. Right at the start of that show, Cody Rhodes talked about what's going on and the emotions of it and everything that's happening. So, and they had fun with the fact that there was nobody in the audience and they had their roster out around the ring and they interacted. Yeah. So it's two differences of opinion, but like I said, there's no right or wrong. Which did you prefer? The way that the WWE has kind of tackled this situation or the way that AEW has tackled this situation?
Dave, I said all along that from the early learning process, you have a bunch of guys and girls standing around the ring, reacting to what's going on in the ring as it happens. When you're first learning, from the first time you lock up with somebody or learn to lock up with somebody. And that was what I felt like. I felt like, wow, this is like the training school, you know, with people reacting to what's going on. So you get a feel of what you're doing right. And when it's complete silence, sometimes you're not at your best. Mm-hmm. You don't react to, we're definitely not going to react to the crowd because there isn't one. But what you can react to is the clock in your head to tell you what's right. And I think that if you have that, it makes for a better program. My other two suggestions was I want more music. Every movie, TV show that you go to, there's a soundtrack. Music, we relate times in our lives, times in sports, times in any facet of our life to what happened in music that year. And I think that would be a good thing for all of us. And the other thing would be, I would like conflicting announce tables. Give me two announce tables. Give me a heel announce table and a babyface announce table and have them go back and forth about what's going on in the ring. And it will take away from the negativity of not having a crowd.
I like that idea. I never even thought of that. And that's a little bit of what we got from AEW because they had the heels on one side and the faces on the other, and you saw them, obviously not like commentary like you mentioned, but you saw the different reactions from the wrestlers that are outside the ring. I love what you just said, Mark. I love having the dual commentary. You have one table on one side of the ring and the other table on the other side of the ring, and they can kind of like bicker back and forth, and it just adds another element, and it's a bit of a distraction knowing that there's no crowd that's reacting to the moves that are happening in the ring.
Yeah, and this will be a great time to show a backstage scene of a bunch of wrestlers getting ready, warming up, you know, stretching and everything like we don't ever show. And then they say, hey, the match with Daniel Bryan just started. And they go, oh, this is a sellout. And there's a term in wrestling called a sellout. There's been wrestlers where you wanted to see what was going to happen, whether there was animosity between the two wrestlers or this wrestler was really seasoned and the other wrestler was not. And you're like, oh my God, let me go see how this is going to work out. And that would be a good time to do that. Like there's certain elements that I wish that could be portrayed that I think that the fans would really grow to appreciate.
Now, Mark, I know you mentioned that term before here on Busted Open, but for maybe those who didn't hear it. So like a sellout is like when the wrestlers in the back come, I guess, near the curtain to watch whatever's going on in the ring.
Yeah. Back in the day before there was a structured gorilla position like we have today. Basically, there was wherever there was a curtain of piping drapes where a wrestler could go and stand there and peek through the curtain. That was the whole premise of what happened. But when all the wrestlers, everybody, referees, you know, people that work in the tech department, selling merch, whatever it was, when you came and you was like, I got to see how this is going to work out, that's a sellout. And when you get a sellout at the curtain, you know that the crowd is going to be going nuts. But there's no crowd, so show the sellout.
Why not? I mean,
why this not? It would be hilarious.
This is the perfect opportunity, Mark, with everything that's going on, and you know, it's we're basically in the same boat as WWE and AEW right now, because
yeah,
you know, for those who don't know, obviously because of everything that's going on, I'm not in the New York studios. Mark's not in his normal studio. We're doing this show from home, and we actually have a crew. Daryl and Robert are doing an amazing job of keeping us and recording us, but we're not live on the air in the moment. We're actually pre-recording this a few hours before it's actually going to air on SiriusXM. So we're not able to take phone calls with the nation like we normally do. So Mark, you and I, when we have a topic at hand, we know when a topic's hitting and a topic's working, because right, we can tell by the reaction of the phones. Like if we're hitting on something, the phones light up, we know, all right, this is a hot topic, let's continue with this. And if the phones are dead, we're like, all right, it doesn't seem like that many people are interested, so maybe we should move on to something else.
Gears. Yeah.
So like, it's the same thing in wrestling. Like, it's hard. You're in a match or you have a segment and you don't get that crowd interaction. You really don't know if this is working. But, you know, like with AEW, if you have some people in the crowd, even if it's workers or wrestlers, at least there's some interaction going on. It's very, very difficult. And, you know, like you mentioned the nation before, what we're going to try to do, because you and I are together tomorrow here on a Saturday edition of Busted Open, like I'm going to throw out here now, maybe a lot of our listeners who are listening to us right now could, you know, tweet at us with questions or go on Facebook and post some questions that we could probably dive in tomorrow's show, Mark.
Yeah, we can go on Facebook after this evening, like 5 or 6 o'clock, we could set a time.
Yeah.
We could just go on Facebook Live or go on Periscope and say, hey, we didn't get to talk to y'all today. Then, you know, let's talk now.
Yeah,
you know, we'll find a way to get to our people.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Mark, want to get your take on this, finding out that WrestleMania 36, obviously, because of everything that's going on, not going to be in Tampa. It's being moved to the Performance Center. And from what you're hearing, too, there could be things filmed prior. Not everything may be live. Maybe nothing will be live. Who knows? But as of right now, it's going to be over the course of 2 nights, Saturday and Sunday, April 4th and April 5th. What do you think about the 2 nights and how we're going to see WrestleMania completely different than we've ever seen it before?
Well, we saw it completely different after Wrestle Kingdom. We said, man, that'd be a hell of an idea. Mm-hmm. And here we are. And now that it's going to be that way, unfortunately, it's not going to be in front of 80,000 people. But nonetheless, 80,000 people that would have come to WrestleMania, those people will be watching, I'm sure of it. And all over the world, there's no soccer, there's no football, baseball, hockey, golf, marbles, tiddlywinks, cornhole, you name, there's nothing. But you know what there is? There is pro wrestling. And all of those people that haven't been fans of the sport, I think some of those people are going to tune in just to see what the spectacle is, even if it's not in a huge environment.
Yeah, and it's obviously going to be completely different, but supposedly right now, this is the breakdown. So Saturday, April 4th, we're going to get Owens and Seth Rollins, Undertaker, AJ Styles, the NXT Women's Championship match between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, and then the WWE Championship match between Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre. And then on Sunday, April 5th, we'll get Cena versus The Fiend, Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler, and Bill Goldberg against Roman Reigns for that WWE Universal Championship. Now, I'm sure other matches will be added. That could always be switched around. Two matches, though, we are not going to get are the two battle royals that we usually get in recent memory at WrestleMania. Because of everything that's going on, and you have to have some social distancing, and you got to be concerned about how many people are in a group, they are not having those battle royals this year, Mark.
I can understand. I can understand it 100%. And we sit here and know that we love to see them because they're always so entertaining. And the implications of winning those battle royals lead to other things. But, you know, we just have to find a different way to get it done. I mean, I'm sure that there won't be any lumberjack matches anytime soon. You know, I mean, there's a lot to pro wrestling that still will be monitored and still would be frowned on if you did it under these circumstances and pretenses. And the last thing we want is to have sanctions put on what we love so much.
Yeah. And, you know, again, this is such crazy different times. You think about it, like wrestling being performed in front of no audience, you know, battle royals being canceled because of the situation that's going on. And let me ask you this, Mark, do you think that WWE is doing the right thing? Like, do you think it's best to have this and have it as it's scheduled and the scheduled date that we were supposed to have it? Or do you think that they should have kind of waited and seen that maybe if we could get to the other side of this to reschedule it for possibly late July, August, or September?
I think that if you canceled it, you would be conceding. You would be letting it win. And I mean, knowing Vince McMahon, he is not going to let it win. He's undefeated. He's not going to allow it, man. I know it. And I think that it's good for the hope of people. It's good for the morale of all the people that love pro wrestling to not see your brass give in. And, you know, we right now, people are still traveling, still allowed to travel. We could in the next couple of weeks shut that down. So that would mean that everybody that's able to wrestle, in order for that to keep happening, all of those talent are going to have to basically be stationed in Orlando. Otherwise they won't be able to travel from home to, you know, the facility in Orlando. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we could look at with this pandemic.
Yeah, there's reports, Mark, that they may be taping most of what we're going to see April 4th and April 5th. There's talk that, you know, that this SmackDown will be live, but in the next few weeks leading up to WrestleMania, over the course of this next week, because like you said, you know, we don't know what's next as far as banning on travel or even leaving or being outside at a certain hour. So they're probably going to try to tape as much as possible over this certain period, because like you said, in 2-3 weeks, that might not be possible anymore.
Right. And I mean, there's so many options of what they could do when it comes to producing shows without talent because of the archive. But you're going to need to keep those stories going. And you're going to have to say, well, we have all these things planned. There's no way to travel. So we have to have the people in Orlando. Like that's the last option of what can be done. I thought about this last night and I was like, man, everybody that's on that WrestleMania card is going to have to basically live in Orlando for the next month or so.
It's what's going on right now, and it's terrible. And when you look at when things might get back to normal, we're not even at that stage. We're not even at the point where you can make a prediction that come July, come August, that people are going to be comfortable with that. First of all, that we're on the other side of this and that people are going to be comfortable being around large groups of people. So I think it is the right decision to have it. And if they are going to do it, then you have to kind of break it up into two separate nights. Cause I don't think you can do a 7 hour show, 7.5 hour show, like we saw last year in front of no crowd. Like you're going to have to kind of split that up, Mark.
Yeah, and just finally, so I think that after watching Wrestle Kingdom, it gave us that newfound respect for time, because 7 hours consecutively, there ain't much on this planet that I like 7 hours consecutively. And now we'll be able to get, you know, 3.5 hours here and 3.5 hours the next day. That's more palatable to me as a fan of pro wrestling.
You know what's crazy, Mark, is like as you're talking and we're having these conversations about these shows being in front of no audience. You know, here we are. It's Friday, March 20th. Less than 2 weeks ago, you know, it was less than two weekends. You know, it was we had Elimination Chamber. And I'm thinking back to where we were just less than 2 weeks ago, where we had a sold out crowd of people out there to watch Elimination Chamber. And then here we are now. Like, you know, what we saw after Elimination Chamber in less than a week, we had the SmackDown in front of no audience. It's amazing how quickly our life has changed. But it's also amazing, Mark, and this is how good of people we are and how strong of a world we are right now, how quickly we adapted to that. I mean, there we are 2 weeks ago. People are wrestling fans are buying a ticket to go watch live wrestling, being around 15,000 other fans enjoying the product. And then here we are where people can't even be within 6 feet of one another. I mean, and we're rolling. It's amazing how our world has changed in such a short period of time, but also how quickly our world has adapted to these changes.
Yeah, I mean, we're resilient. I mean, as long as there's breath in our body, we're going to try to push forward. I just feel that way. I know it for myself, and I pray that for everybody else that knows me and that I know. Also, you know, I always make movie references and TV references. When all this is over, we are going to party like Zion in the Matrix. I mean, it is going to be a worldwide celebration. It's going to have its own day. I mean, like, just if you think about being an optimist and you think about the future, as I do most of the time, I try to be forward thinking. It's going to be epic. It's going to be the whole world might get knocked off its axis from people jumping up and down and turning and running. And it's going to be special. And I look forward to that. And I hope everybody else keeps that in mind. Keep that optimism in mind.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Now we know that Rob Gronkowski is going to be the host, Mark, for WrestleMania 36.
Rob Gronkowski has a lot of personality. And, you know, you talked about a party. He is a walking, living party happening 24 hours a day. I love the guy. I think that he's going to make a really good wrestler once he's got some seasoning and some in-ring experience. I say by WrestleMania next year, I don't know if he'll be at Ronda Rousey level for a first timer or Kurt Angle for a first time, but he has that potential. And it's just cool to see somebody with the potential to be great. And, you know, we're going to have to put an edge on him. You know, he's going to have to learn some of the fighting arts. We don't know if Gronk can box. We don't know if he can shoot or wrestle. We don't know if he could kickbox. There's a lot about Gronk that we don't know. And the whole development process of how we see him in the future is promising.
Yeah, and listen, when it first came down, a lot of people are like, oh, come on, Rob Gronkowski. And I can't see how anyone, Mark, could be looking at this in a negative way. Like, to me, I look at Rob Gronkowski signing with the WWE and it's nothing but positive. I mean, people have got to change their attitude that You know, there's only one way to become a professional wrestler. Mark, you know this better than anybody because you came from a different world. You were a world champion athlete long before you signed pen to paper to be a WWE superstar. You don't have to just go through this. Hey, I'm an indie. And listen, there's nothing wrong with this. Obviously, this is something that people should take pride in. But, you know, working your way up and being an indie wrestler and working your way up and going through those stages and then finally signing with a big time company. Everybody, just like here in radio, Mark, everybody has a different voyage in life. It doesn't matter how you got there. It's that you got there. And to me, right. Rob Gronkowski, and Mark, you're the perfect person to talk about this because just like Rob Gronkowski was a Super Bowl champion, you were a world champion long before you became a WWE superstar.
And we explained this last week. Like, you know, we always open the show with I've been a world champion in three different sports that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. And there was a time that I was a champion and I never wrestled. I was just a fan of wrestling like Gronkowski is. And you're going to go through some bumps. He's going to have to take his lumps. But I've seen him in his football career mix it up with some guys. And I don't know if you remember a few years ago, a guy low cut him. And he tried to hurt the guy. So he's got it in his heart that if you try to hurt me, I'm going to try to hurt you. So we already know that he's not soft by any means. If you watched his style of play, Gronk was one of the top three blockers in the run game in pro football. And the two things that strike me as qualifications for being a good blocker is willingness to do it, because a lot of people don't have the heart to put their nose in there. And then the physical tools. He's 6'6". He's 270 pounds. He is athletic. He's fast. He's flexible. And that's that, you know, when you look at that, you know what it sounds like to me? Drew McIntyre. It's the same qualifications. The willingness to get rough and physical and the athletic ability to get it done. Everybody don't have it. Gronk is blessed in the sense that he was a guy that was able to elevate himself, because when he came out of college, he had an injury and people were saying, you know what? I don't know if he's going to be able to play pro football. He's a little banged up. Here we are talking about possibly one of the top three greatest tight ends of all time.
Not to interrupt you there, that's without question. I mean, there's some people that think he might be the best tight end ever, but what you just said, there's no doubting it. He is one of the top three greatest NFL tight ends of all time.
Of all time. And I don't mind being corrected if somebody says that Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end of all time. I would be like, you know what? You might be right, because statistics prove it, championships prove it, and just the fact that he was an unstoppable weapon. Tony Gonzalez, he got the work in, but it took him a longer time to get that work in. Mm-hmm. Gronkowski was on an accelerated pace, and I just, you know, appreciate all of that, his football history. But I'm just talking about how all of his physical tools are going to translate to pro wrestling. But his will to be something greater is what is the main factor. And I think that him being a wrestling fan, he does not want to disappoint.
Mark, the one thing that might be a little bit of a concern when it comes to Rob Gronkowski for me is the injuries, because he had some injuries that shortened his career in the NFL. How big of a factor do you think that's going to be when he becomes a pro wrestler?
You know what? Every wrestler that's on television right now is suffering with some kind of injury. The fact that he was able to go through this many NFL seasons proves that he's tough enough and he has the willingness to get himself in shape. During the offseason, he never allows himself to get out of shape. So I don't see there being a big problem. The back injury, the shoulder and elbow, those, they were fixed, you know. So he took the time. I mean, it took him a longer time because of the staph infection that he got. But nonetheless, he's a healthy guy now. And he's been a year without football, and it's going to be another year. He'll be 2 years without that football banging. And now he'll be able to train himself to not to absorb punishment and blows rather than just take them. And that's important.
All right. While you were talking, Mark, I took some notes because, and this is what I love about you. You're able to put a positive spin on most things. And a lot of the things that you brought up were questions that people had about Rob Gronkowski becoming a WWE superstar. So as you were talking, I took some notes, and what you said, and this really hits home. You mentioned he's athletic. He's got great flexibility. He has charisma and personality, which is needed to be a WWE superstar. He has mainstream appeal. Everybody knows who Rob Gronkowski is. He has toughness. He's competitive. He's able to play through injuries. And probably biggest of all, he's a fan and has a passion for pro wrestling. Like, hearing those things from you, I can't see how anybody could have a problem with him signing with the WWE.
But you know what? A lot of the people that had those questions, those guys couldn't last one day in a wrestling ring, in a training facility. I watch Fox Sports and I watch ESPN and all the sports in between, all the sports shows in between. And the common denominator of all of those guys, the pro football players, the pro hockey players and baseball players, all of those guys, they were like, yeah, go Gronk, you could do it. But it was all those little dipshits that never played a sport, that never couldn't make it in college, the Doug Gottliebs of the world, piece of shit. Like, I'm not going to take what they think as with a grain of salt. Like, who cares what your opinion is? You didn't make it. You didn't cut it. Like, I'm not going to take the opinion of somebody that's got a neck the size of a pencil. Like, Gronk is a man. He is a monster. He was a man amongst men. And there's no reason to think that you couldn't train somebody that has all the physical attributes that those guys wish and pray that they could give all the money that they had to switch bodies and heart with those guys. I don't give a shit what them guys think. They have no idea what it takes to be the man that Gronk is. And I think that Gronk is going to go out there and prove everybody wrong.
And you know what? I'm rooting for him. Like, I am too. And listen, you know, you know, Mark, you and I are Dallas Cowboy fans. So it's not even about, you know, being a fan of a particular team and now wishing that person does well when his career is over. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. I just admire somebody, first of all, like what you did, Mark. I mean, you didn't rest on your laurels. You were a world champion in sports before you even became to the WWE. But, you know, WWE was something that you had a passion for, you were a fan of, and you're like, hey, man, that takes a lot of courage and guts to stick your neck out there and try something completely different that you have never done before. And go into a world where, you know what, you can't rest on your laurels. You got to start from scratch. You know how hard it is to climb to the top of the ladder in something and become a world champion and then have to climb another ladder to be something completely different? That takes a special type of person to be able to do that. And I can tell Rob Gronkowski is that type of a person. So how could you not root for somebody like that? Yes.
And to not be able to say, you know what, I know I'm going to fail. You have to be unafraid to fail, basically. And I can see that in Gronk. When he gets down, he's going to have troubles. There's going to be stuff that he's not going to be good at. And he's going to have to accept that for the first time in his life in some cases. But he's got that willingness to learn and to bounce back from it and come in there the next day and going, hey, let's get right on that thing I couldn't do yesterday. I'm going to master that before I leave here today. That mentality is what he has that's going to make him a great wrestler. Not the fact that he's 6'6 and 270 pounds. is his willingness to learn and his willingness to get better and want to get better. Like, it's man, everybody's not born with that. And we know that because of the product that we got to see every Sunday. You don't think that there was a time when he came in and there was something that he couldn't do? I guarantee you there were things that he couldn't do. But give him a couple of weeks with it. He ironed all those out, and he's going in the Hall of Fame. You could give him his gold jacket right now.
That's right. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And when he's putting on that gold jacket, he's probably also going to be walking down an entrance ramp to be in a WrestleMania match as well. And this goes hand in hand, Mark, with the discussions that we had about Ronda Rousey. Everybody is up in arms about Ronda Rousey. Oh, please, why is Ronda Rousey coming? This is garbage and everything else. And why?
And what did she do?
She had Ronda Rousey. This is what Ronda Rousey did from year to year. She made her debut, and what was the greatest debut match of all time. I don't care what anybody says. Her match debut in New Orleans at WrestleMania was the greatest debut match of all time. And then a year after that, and listen, we could get into that as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then a year from that, Mark, she main evented WrestleMania. And let this not be lost. That match would not have been a main event if it wasn't for Ronda Rousey. So think about that. She had the greatest debut of anybody ever in a match, in her debut match. And then a year later, she was main eventing WrestleMania. And she deserved to main event WrestleMania. And she was the reason that that match was a main event at WrestleMania. Now, I'm not saying that Rob Gronkowski is going to have the same format as a Ronda Rousey. But those same people that hated on Ronda Rousey and were proven wrong are the same people now that are hating on Rob Gronkowski. And shame on you. Because if you're a pro wrestling fan, you should admire somebody who has a love and passion for pro wrestling. And if you're a pro wrestling historian and you know your history of pro wrestling and you hate on Rob Gronkowski, then shame on you. Because history shows we've seen a lot of NFL players move to the world of pro wrestling throughout the decades. A lot of people
Look at all the football players. Look at all the football players, Dave. Look at Big Cat Ernie Ladd.
Yep.
Look at Wahoo McDaniel. Look at Dusty Rhodes. Bradshaw, Ron Simmons, the list goes on and on and on of these football players that came into pro wrestling that had a passion for it, that succeeded. And granted, that's a small sample size because there was a lot of them that failed. But the ones that failed, I don't think had the passion like they did. And that was the difference. That's what I'm just saying. Gronk has got that chip on his shoulder. He's got that thing that makes him different than other guys. He walks in a room and everybody goes, wow, who is that guy? If you don't know him, then you want to go over there and find out who he is. Wow, you're a big dude, man. And then he's going to interact with you. And the fact that he can interact with any group says everything that needs to be said in pro wrestling. Because what do you have to do in pro wrestling? You have to communicate with everybody without using words, by using actions and using the way that your body moves and the energy that fills the room when you come into it. It's just that he won't be in a room, it'll be a ring. And he'll get in there and he'll learn how to feel what it is that he needs to relay the messages that he's trying to send. And once that day happens, then it's up to him what he wants to do.
I'm looking forward to that day, too, Mark.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
All right, let's get back into Rob Gronkowski because he's obviously been a big topic on today's show. Mark, we talked about earlier how you've gone down a similar road, similar path as Rob Gronkowski. Obviously a different sport, but doesn't matter. A world champion's a world champion. Rob's a world champion. You're a world champion before you got to the WWE. What advice would you give Rob Gronkowski as he's going into this different world?
Find a mentor, and not just any mentor, but find somebody that was over. Find somebody that knows what it takes to get there and to guide them. And, you know, I think that an important thing would be to have a skull session with myself and Big Show. He's a big guy. He's going to have to learn to work like a big guy with his athleticism. That's what makes Drew McIntyre and Brock special, is they're big guys that can really move and do a lot of things. But at the end of the day, people believe them, and people can, they can see what it is that makes them tick. And he needs to be very transparent. And that's a taught thing in pro wrestling.
Yeah. And
I think Big Show and I would be good catalysts.
And I think you're right. I mean, if I'm the WWE, I would definitely have him sit down and talk to you. First of all, because you're a teacher, you have that element. Not everyone has that. You definitely have the elements of being a teacher and being a mentor, because you're a very unselfish person when it comes to, you know, spreading your knowledge and spreading your experience. And I think you definitely would be the absolute correct person to sit down and help Gronk. And you also have that type of personality. I think you would understand Rob Gronkowski coming from a different world, and you have an appreciation for what Rob Gronkowski did. And that's where a mentor is the perfect person that you mentioned, because there's a lot of people, I'm sure, and we saw it with Ronda Rousey. Forget about the fans. There were people that were in the locker room. We spoke to a couple of people from the WWE locker room that, I don't know if you want to use the word jealous, but weren't exactly welcoming to Ronda Rousey. You're somebody that would welcome a Rob Gronkowski into the world of the WWE, because you know the strengths of a Rob Gronkowski, but more importantly than that, you know how the WWE can benefit from somebody like a Rob Gronkowski.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, he's printing money if you can get him to wrestle. His ability to entertain from with a microphone on all of the shows. Think about all the shows that he's been on. You name a show, he's been on it. He sat on the couch with Ellen. He sat in there with the Good Morning America crew. You name a place in sports, on ESPN, on Fox Sports, all of the game shows. He's done it. And the people in the world know him, not just the people of football. Like here we are right now in the world of pro wrestling, completely outside of football, and he's dominating the conversation. So like, he's going to transcend everywhere he goes. It's just a matter of teaching him how to be the best wrestler to transcend, not the ex-football player. That's not what you want to associate with Gronk in a year from now.
And, you know, I would have to think that him being a world champion, him being one of the greatest tight ends of all time, and him being a fan of pro wrestling, he has something to prove. You know that, Mark, I'm not a world champion athlete by any stretch of the imagination, but I know when I come on the air and do this show, I'm always representing Busted Open. So I bump heads with a lot of people at SiriusXM. Why? Because I always want the best for this show. Even during these tough times, I was extremely demanding. Like, I was like, I don't want this show to be cut off, which there are some shows that aren't on the air right now. I made sure that this show was on. I was constantly in communication with Mother Marissa, and she's done a phenomenal job about making sure this show is a priority, because this show is my priority. So I always made sure I've been fighting for this
show. It's number one.
Yes, it's number one. And when
I mean, it's hard to argue with number one.
It is. And it's hard to get to be number one. And that's my point. Like, it's hard to get to number one. And we, you know, us being a wrestling show, Mark, you don't always get the respect that you deserve because people look at it a certain way. And that's what's happening with Rob Gronkowski now. A lot of people are looking at him a little bit with a tilted head because they're like, oh, come on. Well, no, come on, nothing. Like, I'm sure he's got something to prove. And you don't become a world champion at anything without having a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. And I'm sure Rob Gronkowski right now has got a chip on his shoulder, Mark.
Yes, he does. And you know what, Dave? I did a local show here in Austin, and I called in a good friend of mine, Pat McAfee, and Pat came on for 15 minutes on my show yesterday here local in Austin. And listen, man, I was blown away. And we always have a good time. And we've had him on the show before. You know what kind of energy he gives. Yep. And the guys in the studios, they were like, wow, man, I've seen him on football, but I've now experiencing him in person. It spoke volumes for what he is and his energy. And that's it's trained, Dave. It's trained. You got to have that internal thing, but it's trained. Pat is a trained sports guy. He's always been a fan of pro wrestling. He said that he got his chops from watching people cut promos. And that, and you look at his style, and that's exactly what he is. It's what we're doing right now, back and forth between us. We can handle it because we know it and we love it. And the love for it is even more important than just the knowledge of it. It's the passion that you speak with it about. And listen, man, Gronk has got it. It's just a matter, and we talked about this yesterday, it's just a matter of him getting the right mentor and not being pushed to jump in front of everybody so fast. Let him host. Let him be the host of WrestleMania. But then after that, allow him the time to get seasoned and go through some hardships and learn what it is to be who he's going to end up becoming. And that's a great pro wrestler.
And you know what? And that's why this is where then I now bring the fans back in. Embrace that. Embrace the road that he's about to take. Everybody loves a story like this. You know, like I hope that they make a little bit of a documentary showing like on the WWE Network, showing like what Rob Gronkowski is going through, the training, you know, like you, the you know, the mentoring, you know, talking and sitting down with those experienced veterans that have been there and done that. And I expect high things from Rob Gronkowski. Now, Mark, at the end of the day, maybe it doesn't work out. You know, maybe there is that slim chance that, you know, it doesn't. But man, if I'm a betting person, I'm putting my money on Rob Gronkowski that he's going to be a success and he's going to be a main eventer someday. It's going to take time like anything does, but I wouldn't bet against him.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something else too. And we talked about this last Saturday on last Saturday's show. Mojo Riley came on the show, and Mojo is the best friend of Rob. And it was Rob's dad that was like, hey, Mojo, you got the personality, you got the chops, you got the energy, you could do this, you could be a pro wrestler. Really? Me? Yes, you. And then they connected him, and here we are with Mojo Riley. I love Mojo, and I think Mojo's got a lot to give in the future. But the one thing about Rob Gronkowski is he's competitive. And as much as Mojo is his friend, he wants to be better than him and everybody in that locker room. And if it comes down to it and Mojo is in the way of that, Rob is going to have to get rid of that element. And that's the first story that can be told to get his feet wet. And I mean, it happened with me and Dwayne. And all of those stories can be told. It's very easy to do because it's real. And the reality of pro wrestling is what drives us to go, wow, that was amazing. And that's what I would do with Rob. I would do everything that I can to emotionally tap into what it is that he needs to be great. And if you have to bring family into it, then you have to bring family into it.
Whatever it takes. And like you said, and Bully's mentioned this plenty here on Busted Open, he loves realism in pro wrestling. Mark, it doesn't get more real than this story with Rob Gronkowski, a world
their
champion.
Their family.
Yes. Yes. It's
my
not-
dad helped you get into wrestling. Like, you should help me, you know. Well, you can have Mojo get jealous. Well, I was here first. You know, these are my friends. You know, I mean, it could get real catty, if you will. It could get real petty. You know how people could be petty.
Yep.
And then have him, you know, fight through that pettiness or perpetuate it. I don't know. Is he going to be a heel? Would he be the one that's perpetuating it? And Mojo's the baby face.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't know.
We
got options, though.
There's options, and you got somebody who's a great athlete and a competitor and a world champion. That's just, to me, a recipe for success.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.